If you know the fish tank, then you also have to know our friends at Planet Protein.
That's right, Big Seth, and Planet Protein is back and better than ever. They're gearing up for the momentous release of their Chocolate Magic Protein Shake, now completely sugar-free and free of sugar alcohols.
But still the same great taste, Juice. And Planet Protein is locally manufactured right here in South Florida. And to top it off, the new Chocolate Magic 2-pound bags feature a wooden scoop and eco-conscious packaging to protect our beautiful oceans.
Hey, no doubt, Seth. In fact, they're so local that my man Anthony, the COO of Planet Protein, is here to tell you why their product is not just good, but good for you.
That's right. Thanks for having me. Had to come down and tell it like it is. We produce Chocolate Magic right here in South Florida with our community in mind on the inside and outside of the bag. Eco-conscious materials, only 8 real ingredients, 4 of which are superfoods, put you in the prime position to conquer your day.
So if you're ready to live a clean and ethical nutritional lifestyle, then visit planetprotein.com now. And remember to use the code FISHTANK to receive 20% off all of your Planet Protein purchases.
And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at planet_protein.
Bam! I'm just going to start.
All right.
Yeah, I'll just fuck with it. I'll just do it.
Use the book.
I'm good.
Okay. Yeah. Let me do time.
Welcome back to the fish tank
Wait, whoa.
You want to count in? You want to do the official tradition? Okay. That's hilarious.
July 11, 2019.
This is what Sean does every time.
Chris Chambers in the Fish Tank Studios.
About damn time.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
You're now diving into the fish tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, golf fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.
Welcome back to the Fish Tank here in the Five Reasons Sports Network. Seth Levitt with my main man, OJ McDuffie. Juice, how we doing today?
What's up, Big Seth?
Juice, we brought a little Cleveland into the tank today.
You brought more than Cleveland in the tank.
Yeah, man. A little bit more than Cleveland.
Of course, man.
Another podcaster in the Five Reasons family.
That's right.
And a guy who was pretty good on the football field.
He was all right. He's all right. That's my dude right there. Are you kidding me?
I mean, why, no suspense needed. Chris Chambers, finally in the tank.
Yes, yes.
Took 2 seasons.
You know how many Chris Chambers jerseys I have?
How many?
At least four of them.
Wow.
I have at least four.
In every color?
I have multiple colors. I have 2 white. I have the orange, which they got a chance to rock, and the aqua. I had mad Chris
All have been worn in those seats in the end zone.
Absolutely. You know it.
Now, why 4 Chris Chambers jerseys?
Because, for one, at that time, it's my favorite player.
Okay, understood.
And he still is.
Fair enough.
That's a respect. Wide receiver from Cleveland.
That is respect.
You know, they don't usually say that to people.
Yeah, they
don't. Well, it depends what circles you're traveling.
Right. Without a question, man, there's a lot of things from Cleveland, you know, Bedford. I'll let Wisconsin go. You know what I mean? But being a wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins from hometown, I mean, that was a no-brainer for me right there.
And he still has the jerseys, Chris, which means he respected what you did. So all that stuff leading up to it was great, and he bought the jerseys, but then he actually kept them.
That's right. That's right. I haven't sold any of them yet.
Yet. So, I mean, Juice, I appreciate that. I didn't even know you had that many jerseys on me. I know you had them, but not that many. So that's respect. I got to hit one of them. I don't even know if you have one up yet.
Yeah, right.
I remember going to you. I haven't been in your house in a little while now. So,
well, don't get carried away, Chris. I mean, he bought the damn things. Now you want me to hang them up on the wall?
That's where it goes.
He's got the jersey room, actually. Yeah.
You know what? Before we even get into anything else, man, that's why Chris knows I have his jerseys because, you know, when I had the end zone seats when I retired, Chris always came down there and showed me love before the game.
Wow.
Or during the game. Yep. Somehow, some way, you know, Chris let me know that, you know, he saw me up there, man. That was love right there.
So there's just a mutual respect. Now, again, the Cleveland thing, is that, you know, watched him play and all that?
Yeah, you know what? But before then, I didn't really know who Juice was because I really wasn't following the NFL when I came out. So then once I got to the NFL and got with the Miami Dolphins, I got a chance to meet him and see him and then learn his history.
Put a little tape in.
Because, you know, we had that toe. That toe was, take care of that thing. But his locker was actually right next to mine, which was great. So I was just absorbing all that, man. Now I wish I could absorb even more. But it was just cool just to have him around, even though he was on the field, man. He was a player coach at that time. He helped us out and he helped me transition to what I was going to become.
Yeah, you know what, man? And that's what it was, man. You see the talent, Seth. You see the ability. Mm-hmm. And, man, just receivers at that size, that speed, that athletic ability, man. Smooth. Now, he's one of the original guys at that size and speed that could, you know, catch the ball in different angles and different. The hands were unbelievable. Route running was incredible. Most guys that ran routes like him had to be like small, like me, you know. But Chris was one of those guys that changed the game. Big guys, you just ran straight,
right?
You know, and he's a big receiver that could run, cut, break, jump. You know what I mean? Yeah,
I know we can jump. I've seen that.
And you know, that's probably that Cleveland in him.
Is that what it is?
That's probably that Cleveland,
that's a Cleveland thing,
man.
Huh?
You know, we have some of the best athletes in the world.
I saw that coming.
Yeah.
In the world, man. You know, and, you know, I grew up in Warrensville Heights. He grew up in Bedford, which is a neighboring suburb, but, you know, by us. And, you know, it's amazing that how many guys that come out of that area that make it big or they're just the most incredible athletes.
And what is it? Mm-hmm. What's in the water?
It's in the water, man. It's Lake Erie.
You know
water.
What? No, but listen, Ohio, for one thing, is a football state. And then Northeast Ohio having the Cleveland Browns, especially when I grew up, 80s and 90s, they were so good. So that propelled the football. And then Ohio State. So
till that moment where they didn't have the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, right. That moment, that crushed us right there. But beforehand, you know, I can name all the guys, the Kozars, the Eric Metcalf, who's my favorite player, Webster Slaughter, like Langhorne. I can go on and on, Kevin. I could go on and on. And that's what really got me started. They were so much fun to watch. They were very competitive. They were called the Cardiac Kids. They never gave up. And all that kind of instilled in the kids in the area.
Yeah.
And we just grew up that way, man. And just playing in snow and having fun, man, you know, it just one thing led to another.
Yeah. Football in Northeast Ohio, man, was a lot of fun. It really was, man. And I think the Browns were one of those reasons. I was telling a story before about how, you know, I was a senior in high school, and Desmond Howard won Defensive Player of the Year for Plain Dealer. I won Offensive Player of the Year, but Bernie Kosar won the Browns Player of the Year. You know what I mean? And we'd be on that dais with him and Dez and all those guys, man, and see how, you know, everything has changed and how we've all transitioned and how our lives have gone. It's pretty impressive, I think.
But Desmond was Defensive Player of the Year.
He had 12 picks that year. Yep. I think he took 6 something back for touchdowns, some craziness. Because I, you know, he could have been offensive too,
right?
Yep. He could have been both, but you know, they had to split it up. Give me mine. Give me something, man.
Jill's High School.
Yeah, and the fact that he had Elvis Gerbach as his quarterback, and Robert Smith was right up by the leg of Euclid running. You know what I mean? It was, dude. It was sick that year. We had a sick year. You know, and Robert was a young guy. I think he had a hell of a career as well. But, you know, Cleveland, Ohio is a special place, man, for football because, like Chris talked about, man, what the Browns did, it transitioned all the way through every part of football in that area, man. And the whole state, really. I mean, the Bengals are there, but the state really loved the Browns.
Yep.
Really loved the Browns.
I've seen it.
But, you know, but Chris, though, you know, he was, like I said, he was a suburb, to the south of me. He was a suburb to the south of me. But, you know, Warrensville and Bedford, you know, we didn't really, I don't think we got along very much, Chris.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, let me correct that. Yeah. I was born in Cleveland, because you have to say this. You know, Bedford, because at one point, believe it or not, they, you know, for real, they used to put this on you know, in the games.
Right.
They put where you from, and they kept putting Bedford. I said, dude, no, put Cleveland for me, please.
Okay. All right.
You know, so
all right.
I went to Bedford my last 2 years of high school, but I did go to Cleveland Glenville my first 2 years of high school.
There it is.
Where Ted Ginn Sr. was my first receiver coach, believe it or not. And Ted Ginn Jr. was like in middle school or elementary school back then. Right.
Carrying water,
all that stuff. Yeah. But he was always around football. The dude is just on the side, is a football player. And that's why he's in the league today. 13 years, believe it or not.
Right.
Ted Ginn.
It's amazing.
Junior. Because he's a football player.
Right.
Yeah. Period.
Yeah, and because he got out of Miami. Right.
That's part two. You know, he played with Drew Brees now, so
that'll help. He played with Cam Newton.
Right.
That's my philosophy on Ted, and we'll get into Ted later.
Yep, no
but
doubt.
If you got a guy who can throw it a mile, then Ted will do make something happen.
No doubt.
But if he had to make something happen with, you know, I don't know who'd we have at the time, it wasn't going to happen.
You know, Chris, I have a question. Like, I had a tough time leaving Ohio and Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
How did you actually leave Ohio State and go to Wisconsin? Did basketball have something to do with it?
That was the biggest part for me, because I grew up a humongous Ohio State fan.
Like we all.
Joey Galloway and Terry Glenn, favorite players there. And then I went to go visit them my junior year, because I wanted to make my decision before my senior year of football. So I went to visit several schools. I went to Ohio State, Michigan State. Saban was there already. And I went to Wisconsin, but Wisconsin was kind of already recruiting me for basketball a little bit. At least that's what they they told me. Right. Made me feel good.
Yeah. Whatever it was, it worked.
Whatever it worked. But I was a really good football player. I was a really good track athlete. But I went to go visit Ohio State, and Cooper was the coach then. And they had Kenyon Rambo, and they had Reggie Germany. They had a couple guys. You may know these names, Juice. David Boston probably was just there. And
know that name.
I just didn't feel the love. You know, they felt like I'm from Ohio. I'm one of the top players in the area. He's going to go to Ohio State instead of really working the recruit trail. So I didn't feel the love there. And then my thing was like, if you wanted me, you had to let me play basketball. So I visited there. They said, maybe we got a guy that we're going to play. I went to Michigan State. And Coach Saban said Plexico Burris at the time wanted to do the same thing, and he was coming in around the same thing, but I didn't feel strong there. Michigan, you can forget about it. You could just, they said, if you're not an All-American, you might as well.
It's not going to happen.
It's not happening. Wisconsin was the one that's like, probably like, yo, if I can get this, now that I know what I know, if I get this kid, tell him he can play for basketball. Just let him just, whatever we can do to get him.
That's exactly what
But the visit was great, though. The visit was, I mean, Madison, Wisconsin, Barry Alvarez, Ron Dane was there. I mean, you know, it came off a Rose Bowl year, like maybe a couple years before I got there, and the atmosphere was great, and I was shocked that he let me play. Once the first season of football season was over, and they was like, yeah, you can go play basketball now, and I ain't picked up a basketball in about 8 months.
Right.
And they let me go.
Oh, you're so, like, oh, you're serious?
Yeah, yeah. So I went, and I didn't go home. You know, winter break, everybody go home for a month. I'll stay right on campus with nobody on campus and went straight to basketball practice and was able to do basketball my first year. So it was a great experience for sure.
Yeah, that was a big reason I went to Penn State, because of the baseball atmosphere.
Yep.
You know, but Joe didn't say, you can't play your freshman year, though. I need you. I need you in spring ball. I was like, all right, that's fair, coach.
So you get the 1 year in. And
I
then
got the 1 year of spring ball, and then I played baseball.
You didn't know we played baseball?
Yeah, nope. I played baseball the rest of the time. Oh, you got to go see the picture. Yeah, And then that was part of my deal, too. Mm-hmm. And Michigan, the same thing. Michigan would not let me play baseball. Mm-hmm. UCLA would not let me play baseball. Mm-hmm. Ohio State was willing to let me play baseball, and so was Notre Dame. But that's the same path I was thinking about. I need to play baseball.
See all those schools you just dropped on you, by the way?
Yeah, that was even way west on me.
Michigan, Notre Dame.
I've never been to California, so right. I had to take that trip.
Nice.
I had to take that trip. But, yeah, I mean, it makes sense, though, Chris, man, because we all know, and we'll talk about a little later in the cast, your basketball skills. I mean, there's no way you let that go.
Yep.
And most football players – I mean, we all know, think we can ball.
No doubt.
I mean,
so
no doubt about it.
But there was a few that really could.
There were really a lot. Yeah, like Chris
right here.
Like
one, two.
Exactly right.
Yeah, I
give it to Jason, too.
JT can play. He had a year
of basketball, too, at Akron.
TK, a bunch of guys got a they try to steal one in big colleges.
But TK, I'm just laughing. So TK was in the tank.
Okay.
And, you know, TK is very proud of his accomplishments on the hard court, and rightfully so. But we had Mark Dixon in the tape. He started talking about TK's hoop game, and TK is still salty. He's ready to come back. He said he's either never coming on again or he wants to get on and defend himself.
That's good.
So you talked about a lot of guys that were on that team with Wisconsin, but you left a guy out.
Yep.
And it's a guy that we're familiar with down here. And he played on the other side of the ball in Jamar Fletcher. And so when I think of Fletch, you know, I'm going to be honest, you know, I know if he's your guy. I think of one of the top three biggest mistakes in the history of this franchise that we're still paying for. And it's really more about Drew Brees than it is about Fletch. Sure. But, you know, we had Pat and we had Sam, and then they went and spent a first-round draft pick on Jamar Fletcher, and we could talk about that for days. But I know that what the guys were so proud of in that draft, what Dave and Rick were so proud of, was they said, we had our eyes on two guys. Mm-hmm. And it was either Chris Chambers or Jamar Fletcher, and who are we going to take as our first-round guy? And we got them both. And they were excited. What was that like for you guys as teammates, knowing that was going down?
Yeah, and just to go back to Fletch, I mean, he had a hell of a college career. All right, he did win the Thorpe. You know, he's a smaller guy. You know, he made a lot of great plays, but we had a hell of a defense too. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't. Yeah. I think like six or seven dudes got drafted that year from our defense. So something to be said about that. But you know, he just really didn't. To me, he didn't take advantage of the situation. He didn't learn from the guys in front of him. He had some chip on his shoulder. He just never got over the
hump. What was the damn chip on his shoulder? What the hell
was
that?
You're Thorpe, so you gonna go in with your technique? Like, okay, my technique is to supersede what these NFL guys.
Yeah,
so
he won that shit in college, though. He realized that.
Yeah, and obviously pros, and he was a lot smaller, a lot thinner. He's never been a big guy. He was kind of a grabber a little bit in college, right, a little bit, but you can't do that in the pros.
Right, you get
slung somewhere. So, you know, so he wasn't able to grasp that. Unfortunately, he never really got his career rolling. Did a little bit in Cincinnati, but for overall, just the whole draft experience was just is unbelievable for both of us. Knowing that, you know, he wanted Thorpe. We had another guy in there named Michael Bennett. Yep. Remember Michael Bennett, yep, the running back? He was he got drafted that year as well. He came out as a junior. He had one great year and bye-bye. He was done.
Right after Ron Dane came in
and did that. Yep. So we know on the offensive side of the ball that all of us is going to get an opportunity. And, you know, as far as that, so that year I was ranked very high. I didn't do the, like, the poll games and all that stuff because I was coming out with a heap of receivers. Mm-hmm. You know, Santana Mall, Chad Johnson, Steve Smith. I mean, I can go on. I think we had one of the best receiver class when people look at it, Reggie Wayne, all them guys. And so I was in the midst of all those guys, but some of those guys were juniors coming out, and they wasn't going to combine, so I didn't do combine.
Right.
Combine wasn't the same. I'm like, I ain't going to do combine.
Right.
You know, I'm just going to wait till I go to my pro day. But if I would have did it, I probably would have ran a 4.2 something because I was that ready to go for speed wise. But
4.2 something.
4.2 something. Because I ran a 4.29 the year before. So that got me on the map.
Damn.
All right. And they used to let the scouts, used to let the juniors run at the pro day. You just run a 40. That's it. I ran 1:40. Just like, yo, it's like, stop it. Like,
what? Yeah, don't mess that up.
Go over there now.
Did you run that 40 and all of them looking at each other like, wait, what'd you get?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
Yeah,
that's that good sign. I didn't have that sign.
Right.
You're like, wait a minute. They said run it again. Please run it again. So we're trying to get you.
One more time.
Right. So that was great. So that propelled me. I had a pretty good senior year. Had a great bowl game. And then, you know, I was starting to get my rankings. And so I was ranked number 20 for Mel Kiper. And back then, Mel Kiper obviously was the guy. Yeah. I don't know. These other guys is out here now.
It's Kiper and McShay now.
He's still sitting right on the dais.
So I was ranked 20 going into there. Before then, Schottenheimer. Is it Schottenheimer?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Schottenheimer. He came to visit me. And he said, I'm picking one guy. It was me between a guy named Gardner, or obviously Rod Gardner, and there was another receiver, I forget his name, was from K-State. And he came to see me. He's like, dude, you look like Tim Brown. Like, you are Tim Brown, period. That's what he was saying. He put two films on, and two films that he put on, both of my games, I had almost 200 yards back-to-back. Believe it or not, 10, 11 catches, 200 yards, and those are two games he put on.
That's getting it done.
That's getting it done. Right. So literally, that got me done. And so that's when I felt real confident about going into the draft. Like, dude, I'm going to be out of here, you know, real quick. And I was ranked 20, stayed on the board for a long time, receiver after receiver after receiver after receiver was kind of falling off. Had this big, huge old party. And, you know, back then, the draft was hours upon hours. It wasn't like back then. So we took about 10, 12 hours. And then being 20 best available, you know how they got the best available guy, all the way to 52. So I'm just sitting and waiting, seeing your name at the top of the board. So that was kind of a little something there. And then to have Jamar Fletcher get drafted when I was on the phone with the Miami Dolphins, because they were thinking, like you said.
Oh, they were talking to you.
Yeah, they were talking to him. It's like, yeah, we're going to take you here at 24 or something like that, 20-something, around that, around there. You know, and they end up taking Fletch. And it's like, man, what was that? What happened? And so I went through the first round, and then the second round came up, and I was on the phone with New Orleans. And New Orleans was going to take me with the next pick. So the Dolphins ended up trading up. And then they picked me up right then and there, man. So it was good from there.
Were you with Fletch at the same draft party, or was he somewhere?
No, I was home. Okay. I was home. He was home. He's from St. Louis.
Gotcha.
And, you know, I was there in Cleveland. And we both actually flew to Miami the same time.
That's what's up.
It was Miami the same time. And it was a good feeling, man. But that was our first time in Miami. Remember, was Cleveland to Wisconsin to Miami. St. Louis to Wisconsin to Miami. We had never been south.
Yeah.
Always been north.
Yeah.
A little different. We could not breathe when we got off the plane. I don't know if you ever been from up north, first time coming to South Florida. Yeah. It's like you can't even breathe, man. But it was cool. It was a good experience for sure.
Yeah, I caught a bowl game my senior year down here before I got drafted, which is crazy because we played against Stanford in the Blockbuster Bowl, which is, you know, obviously no longer around. But then I got drafted 4 months later. My draft, I had TK was my guy. We just talking about Terry Kirby a little bit. So, but it had to be a little different from somebody you play ball with in college, you know what I mean? And then you both on the same team. You leave Madison, Wisconsin. You come down here to South Florida. I mean, South Florida is a whole different animal.
No doubt.
In a lot of different ways.
Yes, yes. And like I said, Wisconsin, which we know is like 3% minority.
Correct.
All right. 40,000 students. So you understand that if you were anything else on campus, we knew you were an athlete. put it like that, for sure. And so, but coming down, it was cool for me because I had somebody I knew. So that was cool.
Oh, yeah.
I had somebody I could talk to, somebody I've been teammates with for 4 years. And that was a cool experience for us when it came to that. But, I mean, there's other things that come along with that as we kind of talk.
Yeah, yeah. Let's dive into it already. All right. Let's talk about, you know, where would you go in Madison, Wisconsin to have fun?
State Street. We had State Street. We had a thing called the College Club. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's where all the football players would kind of hang out. And then all the frat houses was along that same street there. And for everybody who doesn't know, and I know y'all don't believe me, so Google this. Best party school in America, Wisconsin will come up in the top five.
Yeah.
I'm saying it right now. Seth, I know you got your computer right there.
I mean, is that even possible? Is that even real?
Yeah.
This is probably 20-something years. But I don't know where they at now. But I guarantee they're probably somewhere in the top 10.
Top party schools. I'm going to look it up myself.
Yeah. Okay, so top party school. But now you're in Miami.
Now I'm in Miami.
So how does that compare? How does State Street compare to South Beach.
Ocean Drive.
Dude, okay, so once me and Fletch got back, we had our first mini camp, all right? And, you know, the mini camp, just 3 days, was usually over the weekend. And we was like, dude, this is our second day. We have to go to South Beach. I don't care what we do. We going to South Beach. So we ended up taking a taxi all the way down to South Beach.
Taxi
back then. Sorry, we didn't have Uber and all this other stuff. So
imagine that. You know, at least you guys didn't drive.
Right. We knew we was going to get into some stuff. So that's the main thing. So we didn't know nobody. We just kind of went out there, tried to find some clubs, and we were out all night long. And we ended up getting a ride back with some random girl. She ended up taking us. It's very nice of her.
Young, money in the pocket, good looking guys.
She could have taken advantage of us or something, but she did.
Now, was Fletch wearing like his Dolphins training camp t-shirt?
No, he wasn't. Fletch was like a white t-shirt guy. So he's the type of guy that would, if you go in his closet, he'll probably have like 20 white t-shirts.
I remember Fletch couldn't get in a couple places because he refused not to, he wanted to wear his white t-shirt.
Back in the day, you couldn't do that.
He was cool though, because he was a I forget the fraternity, it was a Kappa. So if you know anything about Kappas, all clean. They're all clean, you know, they all kind of do what
he told us he wouldn't do an interview unless his shit was tight. That's what he told us. And Neil Gulkus. He's like, what needs to be tight? What is it? And I'm like,
laces is
just let him go fucking look at himself in the mirror.
He's
and
a,
then
he's
be
a pretty guy when it comes to being on the field. He has to be right.
So then we
go back and it's like 5-6 in the morning, and we got to just like literally just go straight to the training camp, you know, and have our last practice. It's our first time ever, and they brought, you know, last practice was like a scrimmage and all that,
right?
And so he wasn't feeling too well, but I was kind of feeling okay still, and I ended up burning him pretty bad that day. Caught my first touchdown.
I don't think it was because he wasn't feeling well, Chris. I'm just gonna put that out there.
A little bit of both. But to be able to like go out and like I had to go against him, so now it's like
let me just, so you know, it was
all fun and games, man. It was cool just to kind of have him around, but you know, it's just kind of one of those things. And I thought we rep pretty good, but it'd been nice to see him, you know, be able to kind of do his thing a little bit more, man.
It's your boy, you know. I mean, you always want to see your boy do well. You know, everybody has their friends that you play ball with in college. You want to see him do well in the league, and you know, it represents your school as well.
Yep.
You know, so I completely get it, man. But that South Beach trip, always, Seth. You know, I know a few guys. You know, you come in and see guys sleep on the training.
At 6 a.m.
Sleeping on the training.
I've seen him sleeping on the floor right in the locker.
Yeah, you just come straight from the beach.
Straight to the hot tub with the sauna.
Because if you go home, you're gonna be late.
Right.
Now, was there a point in time like where you sitting there in a club and you guys are just sitting there, and somebody looks at their watch and like, damn,
we didn't care.
No,
we didn't care. It was our first time.
Well, I didn't mean about being out late, but being out like practice is going to start. Was there a moment where you said we better head to the facility?
At that point, you know, especially if you're the first and the second rounder, we know we're going to make the
team. See, that's that bullshit right there.
It's true.
So that's
the problem, though.
True.
That's the problem.
It comes with the territory.
For some guys.
Yeah.
It does come with the territory, but some guys take that into effect with everything.
Right.
You know, even when they get on the damn field.
Yeah.
That is funny.
That is true.
If you're looking to buy or sell a vehicle, AutoNation is where you want to go. They are the largest auto retailer from coast to coast.
And their friendly and knowledgeable staff here in South Florida will help you save big on huge selections of new cars, trucks, SUVs, Toyota, Honda, Chevrolet, Mercedes-Benz, and much more.
Yeah, Juice, but if you're like me and you're looking to buy pre-owned, you know, I got 186,000 miles on the Toyota right now. But if you're looking to buy pre-owned, you can shop AutoNation's huge selection of one-price pre-owned vehicles. They are all clearly marked with one price, their lowest price
guaranteed.
Yeah, or if you just want to get rid of that old car, turn into cash today, get top dollar offer and a check the same day, they'll buy your car with no purchase necessary.
And if your check engine light is on, I got that going on as well. Right now, get the services you need at low AutoNation prices. Oil changes, tires, batteries, and more. All for less.
Call or visit AutoNation.com to schedule your appointment today.
And if you are in the market for a new car, DM us at TheFishTank81 on Twitter. Hopefully you're already following us at TheFishTank81 on Twitter, and we will get your information to an AutoNation senior manager so they can reach out to you directly and walk you through the buying process. So Dave was your coach, right? Yep. Drafted by Dave Wannstedt, a legend in these parts for a lot of different reasons. And you were there his entire tenure, mm-hmm. right? And so I imagine, you know, he drafted you, had a sense mm-hmm. of loyalty to Dave. But at some point, there was a shift. And we had these great years. We had the 10-6 years and what have you. But then there was a shift. Mm-hmm. And then Dave started catching some heat. And right around that time, you also started dipping your toe into the media waters,
yes.
doing some radio shows. Mm-hmm. What was that like for you as a guy playing for this team? Mm-hmm. You got your coach who drafted you. And probably had some people calling in that had yes. some things to say about it.
Oh, man. It was every single week at one point. But I was really, like, I was loyal to the team. I was loyal to the coaches and everything. And I felt really good about, like, representing him and standing up for him and mm-hmm. saying good things and being politically correct. Y'all already know if y'all listen to any of my interviews, I'm not giving you really too much. You know, I'm always going
to
say
yeah, that's why we waited to season two to get you in here.
It don't even matter. Now I'm done. I'm not even with you, man. I'm unfiltered at this point. So it don't even matter. But, you know, there was a lot of calls coming in. George Sudano.
Sure.
Was my co-host.
Okay, wow.
It was really cool, man. We actually, it's funny. We were
big
at
time now,
the Hooters.
And
we couldn't be at a better spot, put it like that. But it was really cool to kind of start there and kind of represent the team. Unfortunately for Dave, at some point, he had to go.
Yeah, but those calls.
Mm-hmm. That's it? What were some of the craziest calls you got there, man? I mean, like, and what would you say then? And would you change what you said then?
No, because I still got to report back to the team.
Right.
So it's like, I can't say too much.
Right.
You know?
But was there a point, like, where you were, like, in your head, you're like, yeah, motherfucker's right.
Yeah,
like,
right. Right. No doubt. Me and George talked about it all the time, you know? So off camera, for sure, off air, you know, we'll be like, man, it's kind of a tough thing going on. But I still was always trying to be positive
yeah.
and put us in a positive light as we kind of went on, man. And it just didn't work out for Coach when it went to the.
Yeah, you know, I kind of like Dave. You know, I didn't like. I still can't stand Jimmy's ass. Mm-hmm. You know, but
well
you know,
documented.
Dave, yeah, Dave. You know, Dave was a good man. You know, Dave cut
good
me.
Man.
Dave cut me at the end. They came at me with a bullshit ass contract at the end of my career. Mm-hmm. You know, they knew what they did to me. But at the same time, no, I respect Dave.
Definitely a good man. There were some things, especially those last mm-hmm. couple of years, that were a little tough. Even working, you know, it's mm-hmm. tough to be a PR guy.
Yeah,
when you,
say,
well,
you were there already then.
Yeah. Right? I did. So my last year was the 2003 season, and I went mm-hmm. into the 2004 offseason, and JT hired me away in June to run the foundation. Right. And then the bottom fell out. I always say that. We were 10-6, 9-7, and then – you know, 4-12 after that, and you know, the rest is
yeah. But it really, really was like we had talent, but we always were so short to the vest, like really close to the vest. Every time. Every time it was always got to get down to the fourth quarter. It always had to be like the last drive. You know, all this
stuff. He wanted it in his defense's hand.
Yeah, he wanted in defense's hand all the time. Yeah. And it's a couple instances where he did not, where he just let it go. And we really went out there and did our thing. But that was always him. He felt great about him because he's a defensive coach.
Yep.
You know, so he took on that characteristic. And obviously, we had a hell of a defense. You can forget about that. But we could have been complimented way better, you know, back then. One game, two game here. You're talking about playoffs, deep playoff runs. 9-7. It's almost.
So what was that like for you as a guy, not just a receiver, but a guy who really could stretch the field? And you averaged like 18 yards a catch your rookie year, I remember, mm-hmm. and the whole thing. What was that like for you? And then you hear your head coach saying, hey, there's nothing wrong with punting, you know, and he would talk about run it, punt it, and that was his kind of.
I didn't really catch on to like asking for the ball.
Yeah.
Right.
I came from Wisconsin.
Too nice. Right. Too nice.
Run first.
The ball.
Yeah.
And we block first. That was instilled in me. And funny story about that one. I ran into somebody. It's like, man, I used to love you on Madden, man. You know, me and my buddies, man, we were drafting. And, you know, I went in there. I wanted to see who was the best blocking receiver on Madden. And guess who was up front?
And that's that,
I had a 90-something in blocking.
Hey, man, congratulations.
Because he knew he wanted to run the ball. So he picked me up because I was a good block.
That's man, that's a hell of a compliment, I guess.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Pick you up in Madden. We would pick you up in fantasy with right, that. With right. That
no, that was, you were the best blocking receiver, and that's how he found
you. He got me and Hines Ward. We're the best. We're the 1-2.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Hey, how about that?
That's a pretty good little compliment right there, man.
True.
You can't do some of the stuff you guys did back then now because you get fined, you get penalized. You can't really take anybody out like you used to be able to. But, you know, I used to love that part of the game because, hey, they were trying to take my head off, Seth.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get some get back.
Yeah, you'd rather do the hitting. Yeah.
You was a hell of a blocker.
Oh, man. You know, Penn State.
Yep.
I remember one game we threw the ball 10 times. And we, you think, how many times did we block? If we threw the ball 10 times, mm-hmm. how many times was I blocking or coming down on support?
And what they say when you don't get the ball, what to do?
Go get somebody.
Block harder.
Block harder.
To keep yourself in the game.
You have to, man.
You got to just block hard and just keep playing.
Yeah.
That was a fun part of the game.
Not a lot of guys like that anymore.
No.
Not at that position.
I caught Ronnie Lott one time, man, when he's playing for the Jets, and I didn't have to get him, man, and I was worried. The whole rest of the game.
Head on the swivel.
It was away from the play. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I was like, damn, this dude's going to fuck me up, man.
That's Ronnie Lott.
Find me. Yeah, I'm going to run this little quick shallow. And he's
cut his finger off on the sidelines.
Right. He was cool, though, man. He was cool. Then he retired. So I was good.
That's a good one.
Speaking of retiring, you know, Dave resigns in 2004, and then Coach Saban comes in. You know, what was it like with Coach, and you know, how did he see you as a leader on that team?
Yep. You know, I was still fairly young then, and obviously JT and all the other guys were getting up there in their experience and their age, but they were the real leaders, like, of the team. And, you know, I was okay with Coach Saban. I was okay with his coaching methods and his philosophy and all, like, the cool things he'll put on the wall and all that. I didn't know any difference either.
What cool things he put on the wall?
Like inspirational stuff. Remember, he used to bring in these inspirational guys. He used to, you know, have us talk to him. I mean, I'm sure some of the older guys, and I think about it, probably went out one ear out the other. But, you know, I was locked in. and it was pretty cool. And he used to have these leadership meetings all the time. And it was, like, all the top guys. But you got, like, JT, Zach. Sayal, like JF, like all the top guys, and to hear me, like probably the youngest guy in the leadership meeting, and I always wanted to say something. I always wanted to say something, dude. I felt like I had some really good points,
and you couldn't get it out.
And I had a chance to get it out a few times, but it's like JT talking. You know, he's talking, I think about that to the day. Like, man, if I would just open my mouth, maybe we'd have won an extra one or two.
What would you have said differently? What would you have said in there, Chris? Come on, this is your chance.
It's just certain things that.
That's just hilarious.
But it was just, it wasn't really what I was saying. It was just me just stepping up and saying something in front of the guys and letting them know that I can be a leader that way too. But I was always leading by example, or, you know, just by practicing hard or doing the right things or staying out of trouble. You know, that was all my mantra. But I never was a rah-rah guy. So that's why I kind of left behind in that. But I did have some private meetings with Saban.
Did he hold it against you that you didn't come to Michigan State?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
No, he didn't. He said something to me one time when I was captain. I'm like, wait a minute, bro. What do you mean? I'm captain for the Dolphins, you know, as an alum.
Oh, you're there as honorary captain.
Yeah, honorary captain. Mm-hmm. And he said, I remember recruiting you at Michigan State. I'm like, first of all, I don't remember that shit, but same time, though, it looked like he was holding it against me at that point.
Yeah, you should have had that work out for you, Coach.
So I was always, you know, the years I was with him, I made the Pro Bowl. Obviously, I was a player that he liked and he respected. We did some media stuff together. But the one time he brought me in the office, he literally sat me down and said, listen, we cannot win games unless you are perfect. He told me, unless I am perfect, we won't win games. And that resonated to me like so big, even if it was between me and you and he ain't say the walls, I just felt like it was time for me to like step up for real. And, and from then on, I stepped up, actually made a Pro Bowl that year, 2005, and I felt the weight that I had to carry when it comes to that. I mean, literally, sometimes when I was in a game, you know, crunch time, where I used to look to the sideline, I'm like, man, all these dudes are just counting on me.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was in the stands counting on Terry. Throw the ball to
I invested four jerseys in this thing.
Damn right. Sometimes throw it up anywhere.
Tunnel vision.
How am I supposed to do with four jerseys if you don't throw them the ball?
Yeah, sometimes you lock the end of the game and you don't really see the sideline, but then you'll step out and like actually look over to the sideline and people like really like, man, what's gonna happen? It's third down and 15.
Yeah.
Is he gonna make a play? Is somebody gonna do something, man? And I felt that I had to be that guy. And I've always been that guy anyway, just throughout high school, college, always.
But
been
he kinda made you realize.
He made me realize that I had
some
that
coaching right there.
Well, yeah, I think the way it sounds like Chris was, you know, kind of sitting back letting the older guys, you know, do it and then, you know, wait his turn. But, you know, your turn was right away.
Yep.
You know, you and Fletch, first or second round pick, knew you guys were going to make the squad. It's time to go at it, you know, as soon as you get in. At that level, it's hard to be that way when you go into a room with a bunch of grown-ass men or you go into a team with a bunch of grown-ass men, you know, and I'm sitting there at 21 and you got Marino and all those guys. It's hard to speak up.
Yep.
You know, you got guys that have been doing it for a while. You got to just kind of wait your turn. But on the field, though, like you talk about, you step it up. I saw it, man. I saw the growth, man, because I saw the ability already and the natural ability and athletic ability and the mindset and the work ethic. But, you know, a lot of times these young guys, they sit back and let older guys do it because they're supposed to do it instead of just doing it. And then you run the old guys out. You know what I mean? That's what it's supposed to be. That's how it's supposed to happen.
Yep.
Isn't there a time and a place for everything? I mean, even for a young guy, at some point, young guys got to step up. And I know sometimes if it's too rah-rah, then the vets don't want to hear that shit.
Correct.
No.
But you got to be doing it on the field, too.
Right.
You can't just be about lip service. No. If you're not doing it on the field and working hard on the field, there's some guys that are vets that ain't worth a shit on the field to want to get up in the team meeting talk. And you're like, man, sit your ass down. Sit your ass down, please. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it goes both ways.
That's why Dixon used to call him the hey, look at me guys.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
He's like, certain guys earn the right to do that, but the rest of you, that's really funny.
Yeah.
So you have Nick for 2 years. That's really interesting that he kind of put that in you. Yeah, empower. I love that.
Yeah.
God, every time I'm wanting someone to come in here and slay Nick Saban.
I know.
We can't really have much on him.
It's been a bit of a disappointment for me, but really
fascinating. That's been the norm, though. The players love it.
Very consistent.
With the exception of Zach here.
And actually, Zach has tremendous respect for him, but, you know,
he was a big veteran at that time, had an early run in, Zach wants to be respected as well.
And Truck. Tractors.
Keith Traylor wasn't a big fan from what we hear.
But at that point, you probably thought about Saban trying to replace those guys, too.
Yeah.
That definitely was part of it.
Yeah.
Because Channing probably came in somewhere right after that.
Channing was first draft class.
He was always trying to get a linebacker, even a couple times.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about them dudes.
Zach just wanted to be talked to like a grown-ass man, I think was the quote. I'm a grown-ass man.
Exactly.
So Nick's there for 2 years. Then he decides he's not going to be the Alabama head coach. And then he decides he is going to be the Alabama head coach. And in comes Cam Cameron.
Yes, sir.
They bring in Cam Cameron. And now hearing what you said and your background in high school, were you one of like three people in all of South Florida that was actually excited when he said we didn't just draft Ted Ginn, but we got the entire Ginn family?
I was excited, because I growing up with Ginn, it was great. I was hoping that they drafted him. Not to be like my predecessor or anybody like that, which is really,
not to take my job,
but I wanted to help like develop him and then be a part of his team. Because you remember being in college and then this guy's like in middle school or something like that, and I've known him and his family, so they care about me. So and he has a great family till this day. I mean, he's doing very good. And he listens to some of the things that I'm giving him because he's actually got better as a football player over the course of time.
He really has.
He has
on the field. So
now, was he like that when he came in? Was he? Because I, from what I had, and I was not there any longer at that point in time. Thank God I wasn't there through that 2007 season. But what I heard was he kind of came in a little bit like Fletch in a way, where he didn't necessarily want to hear from anybody. And, you know, is that accurate or was that just his personality and maybe you knew him differently?
Remember, he had a lot of success in San Diego.
I'm not talking about Cam. I'm talking about Ted.
Oh, Ted.
Yeah,
Ted.
No, Cam didn't want to hear shit from anybody. Smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Ted came in just, you know, as himself. I mean, he's a returner. I think they put a little bit of pressure on him, especially when I left. You know, it was him and then it was Derek Hagan. And they really liked Hagan a little bit at that time. So it was kind of weird, the whole dynamic. I know we were losing and everything, but to kind of trade away and go from there was kind of a little bit. It still hurt me to this day.
Two guys that really made their mark in the record books here in Miami.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was a little bit different when, you know, obviously didn't get a chance to really play, four games? What was maybe 6 or 7 games with them? That was pretty much it.
Let's talk about that. Yeah. So, so it was, they were 0-6.
Yep.
In some ways, they probably did you a favor, I imagine, getting
you
out of here. But, you know, word on the street is that, you know, the ghost of O.J. McDuffie swoops in. If somebody's getting a little too close to sniffing those records, that you're out of here.
I hope that's the case.
I think he came up 15 catches short of surpassing me on the all-time.
And I literally wanted to get back on the team to be able to get those 15 catches.
Yeah, it ain't going to happen.
I think he had 400 exactly with the Dolphins or something, right?
Yep, somewhere around there. So
if he broke the records, would you have sent all them jerseys back?
No, I would have.
Oh, gosh.
Maybe.
I know how that feels, because even when Brian Hartline broke my record for the yards, most yards in the game, I was rooting for him, but then he was getting too damn close.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like, hold up, man. You really about to – and he broke it.
Somebody push him out of bounds.
Please. Do something.
Trust me, Jarvis, you know, the whole Jarvis thing with, for leading the league.
Get him out of here.
Time for him to go. And he's sort of the all-time record, but he did lead the league in receptions, which is, was one of the things that I cherished. You know, no Dolphin receiver had ever done that. But then when you got 100-plus, I mean, I know the game is way different than when I played. 100-plus in a season, man, that's – shit, that's a lot of catches. That's a lot of opportunities.
A lot of guys standing there like this, looking at Danny, like, "Hey, I'm out here too, right?"
Yeah, we did. We had to spread the wealth,
man. But going back to Cam, we can go back to Cam a little bit. You know, I remember in the summer, and I didn't have a good. Was that a year? I had a DUI that year. I don't know if you remember. I had a DUI that year, and let me take that back.
Right.
I wasn't convicted for a DUI, but I got speeding. All right, and they had took me in, and that was the first time I got in any trouble like that, and it was a weird situation, but obviously Devil's Charges got dropped, like, during the season, but it was right in the middle of the time where nothing was going on, like, right now. It was literally, like, right now.
Yeah, just gave them some news.
I gave them some news, and I had some buddies with me, but, you know, and I always remember Stu was like, do not take the breathalyzer. So that was the reason that they took me in.
Right.
And then when I blew under, then everything was fine from there. But between then, CNN, HSN, fucking all these people that don't even care about football was running under the headline.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I felt like the team protected me a little bit during that time when I came in. Everything was good. We know, you know, I talked to the team, lawyers, everything was good from there. But I did remember Cam saying, you know, during the, it might have been before that, he was like, he asked everybody, he's like, you know, who all in the room has been fired before? And people was like, you know, half the room kind of put their hands up or whatever. And he's like, let me tell you something, you're going to get fired. Everybody, you know me, I'm like, I ain't getting fired. I'm good. And sure enough, 6-7 games of the season, I was gone. Yeah. You know, and I count that as a fire, it was the trade, but
First time you're feeling unwanted, right?
Yes, feeling unwanted. And you hear the rumors, and I'm sure at some point Juice had it, where you kind of start hearing some rumors, and that was the first time I heard a rumor over the summer, like, that the team was shopping me. And so now I know to this day, if that rumor come out, that's probably really happening.
Yeah,
that's
how that's right. It's happening. And so I was shipped away from there, man. It was tough. Far away. It hurt very bad because I really love my teammates. Because those were teammates, because kind of our team was together for about 4 or 5 years.
Good
the
core
same
for
dudes
a while,
was
yeah.
There.
Yep.
And, you know, I would have went 0-1 whatever with them. I felt like we probably would have.
I mean, you literally
would
have, because that's what happened.
Yeah.
But I understand.
Exactly. And he called me in, and he told me, you know, you're going to San Diego. He was happy for me, actually. He was like, man, you can go into a great opportunity, because
he loved
there.
San Diego.
He knew the people there, and you know, it was all cool, man. North was there, and so that was just a comforting factor, and just that trip.
Everybody was there.
Everybody.
I'm looking at the roster. We're looking at the roster of guys.
Which one?
Those 17 with LaDainian and Gates, and of course Phillip Rivers. Mm-hmm. You know, the wide receiver core was stellar as well when they added you.
But that was
on
the
to
reason.
It.
Yep, that was the reason I came.
Yep.
That was the missing piece, because Vincent Jackson wasn't quite ready.
Right.
Malcolm Floyd, who ended up having a decent career, wasn't quite ready, and that was the move that was made, and it was great, man, because you went out there and it was like an all-star team.
Yeah.
Straight up.
I mean, you had ten guys make the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, and you hadn't even made it yet then.
No.
You were the next year, right?
Yeah. We had that happen here one year.
You made it here,
When I went there, with Gates, and you already know you're the third or fourth, you know, option in the offense all day long.
Yeah.
But when you have like Sproles and Michael Turner and LT and then Gates and Flo, I mean, it was ridiculous out there. It was a sick team. And to go from 0-6 to almost going to the NFL championship in the same year was so gratifying. It was great. It was a great career move for myself. I really enjoyed playing with them players, and then now having a real quarterback.
Oh, there it is. I like that.
Was just getting into it instead of the 10 or 11. I'm still trying to think, do I have the record for the most quarterbacks? Because I think I got about 15. And we,
we had Marty Booker on here.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about
Books. Books list was really rough,
he had
it down, man.
He had no Philip Rivers in his. Yeah. Nobody close to that.
Nah, Books list was a thing of beauty.
So I thought you guys did make it to the AFC Championship game.
We made the AFC Championship game. If y'all remember, Philip Rivers had two knee injuries that he still played.
Right.
Danian didn't play at all. Gates didn't play at all. It was really just me and Vince, and we still almost won the game.
Right.
You know, that's the type of team. And they were 17-0 at New England with -12 degree weather, you know. And one play here and there, you know, we got it, but you know, Seau actually made the play of the game that game back in the day. He made a big third down stop and did his own Seau deal.
Yeah.
Came right through the hole. Just shot the hole.
Shoot the egg at, buddy.
Buddy, I'm going, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going, buddy. What do you mean you're going? What do you mean you're going?
I saw something.
And that was it. It was shut down from there, man. And we thought we were going to make it back, but it just never happened.
And that's a crazy thing, man.
Yeah.
You pretty much have the same core guys and – man, you just, you know, you think you have a chance, and you do, but teams, that's the best thing about the NFL. You know, I think the parity and teams do evolve and come around, and you think you got an opportunity. I know one trade Danny talks about all the time. He thought he was going to go every year. But
Now, when you were sitting there, were you watching what was happening with the Dolphins, and were you ever calling the guys and be like, hey, man, that really sucks. And hey, fucking thank God I'm not there. Like, were you going through some of that?
We was on bye. I came back to kind of like get some things and come back, and I got on with Big O. That was my first like interview after I got there, man. And you know, it was interesting because I did want to root for the guys still, and I wanted to watch them, and I wanted them to win, but at the same time I wanted them to lose. I'm
correct.
Not gonna lie.
Of course.
So it's just what it is.
Well, man. It worked, Chris.
It definitely worked.
Although, you know, they were 0-6 with you.
Yeah.
And they were 1-9 without you, man. So maybe it was you.
We would have won 2 or 3 games. I would have won a game by myself. I can tell you that.
Right. Oh, well, they could have used it. Although, you know, you stepped aside and let, you know, Greg Camarillo have the moment of his life.
Yeah. Right. Greg, that's a name right there. Wow.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So Chris, after being traded, you know, how was it playing? You had an opportunity to play against the Finns after that.
Yep.
How was that, man? I know you just talked about, you know, how you were rooting for them, but really rooting against them.
Yep.
How was it playing against them?
Man, it was marked on the calendar, just like everything else. And
it's not a cliche. That's real talk.
That's real talk. I already knew what was going on. It was the first time coming back to the stadium, and obviously coming back with San Diego Chargers, which is a very tough. Now I see when you go west. All the way to east.
West to east.
Early
is no
in
joke.
The year. It's no joke. And we're just so flat out there, man. So when I came out I had cheers when they introduced my name in the starting lineup. And
respect.
It was respect.
Yeah, it was traded. All OJ section.
You got traded. It wasn't like you were free agent. You left him bad blood.
Did you wear your Chris Chambers jersey when he came back?
Yeah, I did.
Okay,
did
that's nice of you, man. I did.
Somebody
pull the tape. Pull the tape on that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Section 127.
That thought count.
C-24.
Yeah, so then I made my first catch, and then I heard a whole bunch of boos. Whole bunch of boos. So I didn't know if the
you
boos
were feeling good about yourself for a minute.
It could have been the boos versus for the Finns, though. If you think about it, could have been.
Like how you letting this happen?
Right. So I made my first catch, and then with the game was kind of going on, and then I made my first a touchdown against Will Allen. I hit him on a post corner, just destroyed him.
Another one.
And it was the crunkiest I've ever been in my entire life when I scored. I was like, this is my house.
Oh, you were feeling it.
I was feeling it, Seth. Yeah, because, you know, if I get going, I was streaky. So if I got going early in the game, then I was going to probably keep going. And, you know, earlier that week, Channing Crowder was on the radio talking a lot of mess. Channing Crowder, yes. You already know. And he was saying that how he was going to hurt me in the game.
So he's going to hurt you.
And I got wind of it way back in San Diego.
Did you guys have beef when he was here?
No, we have no beef.
This is Channing being Channing.
Channing being Channing, bulletin board material. And I caught a ball close to the goal line, tried to get in there and score. Channing tackled me, and then several other two people tackled me, and my ankle got caught up under everybody.
So he got you.
He got me.
Wow.
He got me.
He called his shot.
He called his shot right before the half. It was the first time I ever got second time carded because I did have a concussion.
Oh, like carded.
I got carded off.
Yeah, I remember that one, buddy.
I got carded off.
Denver.
So, you know, and that was it. And my ankle was the other way, you know.
Ooh.
And I ended up coming back and playing like later in the season. But you're not the same.
No.
You know, it was an ankle. You really
can't,
not the same.
As a receiver.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. Receiver. I missed some games and stuff. And
I didn't realize it was the other way, man.
Yeah, it was the other way. And I was having a good season. I was leading the NFL in touchdowns during that time. Mm-hmm. four or five games into it, and then I was it from there. You know, I had to wait almost to the end of the season before I got kind of better. But Channing got me on that. We talk about it all the time now, man. We goof about it.
Now, do we find out? Was there like a little bottom of the pile WWE move?
No, the ankle just got caught over, and everybody jumped on top of me.
And that just happened.
In the damn dirt, though, you know.
Dirt season.
Great investment.
That time of year.
Friggin' dirt. Jeez, you know, I don't have it in the notes, but you just said it, and you talked about the other time you got carted off, and that was a Monday night game in Denver.
Oh, yeah. And safety, that dirty ass
Kenoy
hit.
Kennedy.
Yeah.
Kenoy Kennedy.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he'd have been shut down for the rest of the season in today's game.
He should have got beat up. Big old lineman should have jumped on his ass. Man.
But it was great the way the team responded after that. Yep. The guys came back, made it in.
Night, but then we were never the same the rest of the year. A couple guys got banged up. But I remember what a big win that was for us.
A huge win of being in Denver on a night game.
Yeah, it was. I remember that. Unbelievable. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I don't remember a lot, but I remember that.
That one you remember. Yeah. I remember being down on the sidelines at the end of the game, and I mean, it was huge, huge. Man. But isn't that crazy that happens sometimes? You have these games, you think you're on top of the world, and then really, that was it. You shot, basically, and you're done.
That was it. Yeah. And I know I didn't want to go across the middle for at least two or three games.
Yeah. Right.
I bet.
It was a weird feeling. We came back and played Green Bay. I think a game, that's my first game back, because I missed the next game because kind of you in a concussion protocol.
Right.
And
did they have the protocol?
They had it. Not as it is now.
Because your own team now. There's independent guys.
Oh, yeah, nowadays. I was say back then.
Back then, it'd be like, Seth, you make sure. You know, Chris is not concussed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah, right. Yeah. I was going to say.
Yeah, make sure his baseline test.
How many of my two fingers do you see up right now? Is it like that kind of thing?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. But I was throwing up. I came back. I had to stay in the hospital for a few days.
Man.
And it was rough, man.
That's nasty.
That's the worst hangover ever, I'm sure.
It is. Yeah. It is. You're nauseated and you just don't feel right. And then, you know, do you want to go back on the field at that point, especially playing receiver?
Yeah, isn't it crazy now, CC, how it's easy to go across the middle now? And some guys still don't. You can't get touched across the middle now.
But you can
come down
a lot of guys don't...
2 feet, make a football move, then they can tackle you nowadays. Right. You know, before, man, it was like,
a lot of guys go up now, and you can tell they have no fear that anything's
going to happen. Exactly right.
Exactly.
It's
a lot of pride, and he went across, Jews went across the middle a lot. So I love you to go across the middle. I mean, that's major respect when you can go across the middle, get knocked out, and then get back up.
You just made me think about something. Yeah. You just reminded me of something.
I'm still paying for it.
You just reminded me of something. I don't know what the game was, Juice, and I feel like John Madden was calling the game.
Mm-hmm.
And something happened, and it was a play over the middle, and he said you had alligator arms. Do you remember this?
I was so pissed off.
You know me. If there's anything, I don't care if he's...
I do remember
what
that
was that
shit.
Game? I can't remember. Who told you?
It's a Monday night game, but somebody did say that he said I had alligator arms.
Oh, Juice was so pissed on the next day.
Please, man. You don't watch my film, motherfucker.
He was done. Do you even play the Madden game to this day now after that shit?
I made all Madden after. I don't know how. I made all Madden 1 year.
Work probably got back to his ass.
I got my jacket and sweatshirt and everything, man.
Yeah, he was like, if there's anything you're going to say, you're not going to fucking say that I got alligator arms.
Some announcers can say stuff and it will stick to you. And I was in college and we played a Rose Bowl game.
Man.
And I broke a dude off, Juice, with a slang go. Was no one there.
The hardest.
Threw it up perfect.
Toughest catch in football.
The ball just slipped right off my chest and my hands, and all that next year is like, he don't know how to catch easy football, easy balls. So that was like my whole thing.
One play.
So I had to get one play. Crush me.
That is the toughest catch in football. Wide open by yourself.
You said that. That blew my mind.
The toughest catch in football. I'd rather be in traffic, on time, you know.
I'd rather
bang,
be
bang.
Like jumping up or like kind of really
that one there just sitting there and you're waiting. Yep. Shit, that thing there, boy. Mm-hmm. It's a tough one.
That's interesting stuff. Need custom t-shirts made?
What about logo giveaways for trade shows or parties?
Wizard Creations will put your logo on anything and everything. So you got to find them at wizardcreations.com.
Yeah, the lowest prices around, best services available. Wizard puts your logo on everything.
And they really do, Juice. Luke Freeman, who is the wizard at Wizard, is an amazing guy. And if you have something that needs to be branded, Luke is the guy who will get it done. He's done our fish tank shirts that everybody's been asking for. We've worked with him at the Jason Taylor Foundation for years. There's nobody better than Luke Freeman and Wizard Creations.
Yeah, so for all your custom merch needs, call our friends at Wizard Creations at 888-217-4084. That's 888-217-4084. 4084. Also, check them out at wizardcreations.com.
And when you do that, Luke said use the code FISHTANK. He's going to give you free setup and 10% off your first order. Free setup, 10% off. You're going to save some money and get great branded product. Wizardcreations.com.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Ricky J. Mark. In a world where sports radio continues to shift around the whims of corporate interests, we understand that the constant, unexpected changes can be exhausting from time to time. So that's why we think you should sit back, relax, and take five. Reasons, that is. So go ahead, grab your smartphone, and subscribe to the Five Reasons Sports Network, available on virtually every podcast platform. We're South Florida's fastest growing on-demand sports media network. So you decide when you want to tune in. You decide when you want to listen. Because we know your life can be hectic, go ahead, fall in love with our lineup, including Five on the Floor, 3 Yards Per Carry, The Fish Tank, Light-Skinned Opinions, and Cinco Razones, whenever you want. All you need is an internet connection. So go ahead, tune in. Try us out. We're by Miami, for Miami, and spreading rapidly throughout South Florida.
So we talked about it a little bit at the beginning with your first year in Wisconsin, but there's a, you know, there's a theme here in the show, yep. And there's no way that we can get out of here today without talking about the ball up. Okay. At Juice's house.
Okay, there we go.
You know, so we're going to, before you're done, we're going to want to get your top five, because we've had top five conversations in here before. But just tell us about what that was like when you came in and you learned who OJ was and you started getting invited to those games. And you know, there's rumblings, and I think it happens, too, when you find out a guy played ball and you want to see what he really has when he gets out to the court. So what was that like?
That was cool just to be able to you go out and back it up, because there's always a lot of talking when it comes to basketball. And it was a camaraderie thing for us, man. And I really appreciate Juice for having those, you know, because we got together. We'll jump in the pool sometime.
Yep.
We'll have a barbecue sometime. We'll go play, you know, obviously Juice House is an unbelievable house. So you can, it's a fun house right there. And so we did a lot of things. But to be able to cross train and actually play basketball, like, early in the offseason, that was our thing. We really wouldn't do it later in the offseason. We'll do it early in the offseason. And to be able to play with, you know, JT and OG and Juice and, you know, Juice, you know, it's his house. So we already know that thing is going to be butter, you know. And he had the NBA three-pointer. NBA length court, NBA three-pointer, man. It was some great games there, man. We had a great workout, great camaraderie.
It was, man.
You know, and we got a chance to kind of back up kind of all the talking and stuff like that, man. So it was really cool. And it was good to kind of see the guys outside of just like the locker room or kind of hanging out and being around like the other guys, because you know sometimes the receivers hang with receivers and this guy hang with this guy. You know, it's time where a little bit of everybody kind of hung out with each other.
Wasn't it crazy, CC, how you know you could be playing football all year long, but then you get on a basketball court and how tired you are?
Yes,
because you did it in high school, you did it in college. Going from football season to basketball, it's a completely different animal.
Yeah, it's a totally different way of conditioning.
Yeah,
just running up and down constantly. Totally different. We get a chance to rest for 2 seconds and then kind of get going.
Right.
But you know it helped you too. You know, I've always thought, even when I was playing in high school, my football helped my basketball, then my track helped my football, and it was just kind of circle, just like you playing baseball, it was just this circle thing. But now here, especially in South Florida, it's one sport,
right?
All eggs and basket.
Right.
Either you soccer, either you baseball, either you football all year round. There's not too many multi-sport athletes out here anymore.
Yeah, it's South Florida, but I also think it's kind of a, I don't know if it's a cultural thing, or that's
coming
that
way. It's starting to get there.
Because you can get a scholarship off of AAU.
Coach OJ's that way. Hey, man, if you're on his baseball team, he ain't trying to have you out here playing these multiple
sports.
You don't want to hear that shit.
Cutting 10-year-olds. Got to get cut.
Even for them, like, everybody need an off season. I don't care where it is.
Not
you know, even here. You know, I got to get with Juice Athens and talk about that, because they, you know, because it's going to just help you, you know, relax and really focus on what you need to work on. The small, the fundamentals, the strength training, the performance training, it'll really help propel somebody, especially at a young age who don't have any bad habits.
Yeah, I think our kids need that more than anything, man. I think they really need to learn. Like, I think the best thing that happened to my oldest kid, Otis, was playing basketball in the fall a couple of years, and you know, he lost weight, his athleticism got better, his agility got better, his timing got a lot better, made him a better baseball player. You know, I think the best athletes, and we played against a couple of teams where they had like all shortstops. You know, and those are the really good athletes. Mm-hmm. They'll kick your ass every time. You know what I mean? Baseball is a sport where you can have different size, different, you know, it works out. But if you got a whole bunch of athletes, you're going to lose. You're going to lose in baseball, man. That's
Wait. Let me rewind that. You're saying if you have too many athletes on your team in baseball, you will lose?
No. If you're playing against them.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Against a bunch of athletes, you're going to lose.
Baseball.
No matter what.
I thought you said if you got too many athletes.
But you know what I loved about CC on his hoop game, too, was his effortless hops.
God, it was so smooth.
It was like too easy. It was way too easy. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to get, you know, even a running start, Seth. You know, even at my highest, when I jumped my highest, you know, I was able to get up and get over to, but Chris just makes it look so easy, man. You know what I mean? Like you see in the NBA, like, this is bullshit right here.
Yeah, it was really crazy. Yeah. And look, I mean, I got no athleticism. I don't know why the hell I was out there. But so me saying, wow, he did this. But you could recognize it. And you see one guy compared to the next guy. What dude was smooth. And it was like, he was like, he wouldn't even be moving. And then and he was just going. It was almost like slow motion.
So easy.
I just, obviously, I was a jumper.
You hear him? He's like, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Hey, truth.
I still feel like, even though I ain't ran in so long, I got one good one in me.
Yeah.
Whenever I get out there, I'll probably be hurt for like three weeks.
Well, save it until we schedule. We're going to have a fish tank basketball tournament.
The fundamentals don't really go too anywhere. If you know how to play in defense and spacing and, you know, you can make a layup and make an open jump shot.
I can't make a layup right now, man. Yeah. I know how to make a layup. You know, face four knuckles, put in a square, but
I don't remember him punching it much often, though, but he'd get up there and he'd just drop, almost like let you know.
Like, he was like, I could have.
That was almost more insulting than getting dunked on.
Yeah, you know, that exactly right.
In a lot of ways.
And that's a pro dunk. You see the pros dunk? They dunk every night. They ain't gonna mess their fingers up every damn night.
Yeah, clearly that's what it was. So, Chris, we ask everybody who's played out there to put their top five team together, and I'm gonna have you do that in a second, but I gotta say, and you know, we haven't seen, and we talked a little bit about.
I have names?
Well, we're going
to
throw some names. Well, I mean, we'll help you out if you need some. We'll help you out. But what I was going to say was, and you talked about being in the leadership meetings and not wanting to step up, and we talked about how you're too nice sometimes, and I don't know if this will rattle you, but of all the guys who picked teams, your name didn't come up here very often. Your name here didn't come up.
This must be before I even.
So David Bowens had you on his team, and then I'm looking at my notes. I think Pat also had you on his team.
Okay.
That's about it, man. That's about it.
So JT, what JT say?
We hadn't had JT on yet, so we're going to put his team.
Because he was there at a lot of, between him, Pat, obviously OJ, he should be the number one because he was.
Well, I got that because I opened it. Yeah. I got sympathy top five.
But see, now there's a couple. OJ was on every team because they want the lights getting turned on.
Lights in the dome.
He's on every team.
The lights in the dome.
But then there's a couple anomalies here. So like Dixon was on everybody's team. He made everybody's top five.
I don't remember.
So you came after Mark.
He was nice, though.
He was real nice. But he put Zach on his team.
No.
He said, no, but hold on. He said, don't let him touch the ball. He said, if you pass to him, you're off. Mm-hmm. He said, you can't pass to him. He just wanted him there for defense. Right. He's one of those guys that's not going to let you lose. But yeah, so that might have taken your spot
the
then. That might have taken your spot. OG's team was a little messed up. You know, he put, what's his name, Mike on the team.
Yeah, who's Mike? We couldn't even figure out who Mike was. We had to do
a
research.
We don't know who Mike is.
Research.
I don't know. He just put Mike on the team. But yeah, Pat had you on his squad. Debo had you on his squad. TK had himself in the two spot.
I never even played with TK.
So. Well, yeah.
TK had he ran the one through the four.
Yeah, you weren't going to get on TK's squad.
No.
There was no room. So let's do it. Let's put your one through five.
I need a gallery of guys.
Juice is running point.
All right, I'll take it.
You know, okay. I will always love to play with JT because he was so long.
Yep.
You know,
so now we're going to put, is he at the four or the five? Let's just put him off to the side.
Yeah, he's a four or fiver.
Okay.
You know, I'm putting myself.
So you're at the two, I'm guessing.
Or you're going to play the three. Point.
You want to run point. So OJ's going to be the shooting guard.
I'm not going to shoot, but I'll pass it, act like I'm running point.
And play some damn defense. God, I hate it when Juice guarded me. I can't
remember Pat's game too much. I can't remember OG's game too much. You know, because OG, you know, the regular OG, we all.
Forget the guy you know now.
Yeah, so
OG had the craziest hops at one point,
yeah,
too.
Cause, but yeah, he was able to do some things because his hands were so big.
And they were heavy hops, and I don't mean that, like, I'm not making a joke on OG, but they were, we talked about how yours was always so light and smooth. Yeah. OG went up and down, and it was like, you felt it.
So I would almost put him in there, but I'm trying to get my gallery together. You know, I know Kajana used to come over sometimes.
Kajana's made a couple of them here.
Yeah, Kajana used to do some things.
Outside, yeah.
Now, were you around when Robert Baker was around?
Yes, Shake Head Hank Gang.
Yeah.
I would put Shake
on
there.
So Pat had...
Shake Head Real Gang.
Yeah, like Real Gang.
Yes.
I see, he was... And nobody had mentioned him, and he was going to be my sneaky pick, and then Pat put him on.
Right.
So Bake was a guy.
I would put Bake on there.
So you would have Bake on your team. So you're going small. You're going like Golden State small.
What about Debo? You played with Debo a little bit? Or...
Man, he has you on the squad now. So yeah, Debo. Let's see. You didn't never play with
Lewis.
TK. I got a Derek Rogers sighting out here. Believe it or not,
he just play all day and beat you up.
Zach put 2-9 on there, which was shocking.
No,
that's a quick no.
2-9, but no.
So you don't remember Pat's game, you know, JT's. So you got
JT
on
Pat
there.
Was a hell of an athlete. So he literally could do
Pat was
anything
nice, man.
He wants.
Pat was really
so
nice.
I would almost put him in. Well,
but you got a lot of guards.
There.
You're really small right now. I mean, you got JT and a bunch of guards.
Yeah.
And you could do that.
But Chris can play with size.
Chris can do that. Yeah. I'm just wondering how many balls there are to go around.
He's got Bake
squad
on there.
Right
don't forget Bake.
So we got Bake.
And we're looking for one more.
Chris.
I think we
Juice, did. JT, and no, we're oh yeah, we got OJ on there
who
already.
That, who was that person right
so
there?
So that's Bake.
Bake.
Yeah,
Bake.
Yeah, we just moved him over. So you need so if you OJ,
I gotta probably
and Bake
to
are
me,
1, 2, 3
to round me out. I probably have to. I might have to go OG. I might have to.
Yeah, I think you'll do okay there.
Yeah,
I think you'll do okay.
Right
there.
There.
I think that squad is doing
good
something.
Squad right there.
Yeah,
that
you
squad
can win
is
a few
doing
games.
Something.
You can win a few games if Dixon's not.
You can bring Kajana in and knock
down
a couple threes.
We were the whole day. We were just running the whole time and then jumping.
As long as Dixon's not at the park, this squad's got a chance.
I haven't seen Dixon, but I can imagine. I heard a lot of good stories about him.
He told us that they still hold a spot for him at OJ's house just in case he might show up.
Hey, he said as soon as he parked his car, he's in range.
Get a hand in his face. He's in Virginia coaching football.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great high school or college?
High school football.
Nice.
Won a state championship first time ever at that school.
Oh, he big time running. The head coach?
He's a head coach there. Cool. And he was basketball and football there, but now he's all football.
Yeah.
And he's such a coach,
high
man.
School team is pretty cool, what Pat and them is doing, and Sam and JT. And so
Sam's
I just
not
recently,
in high school anymore.
Me and Juice were talking about it. I'm over at university school now.
Right.
Are all you
right?
really?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm with Channing. Offensive coach. So Arturo, who's a quality control, brought me over, and it's flexible. You know, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. Arturo
Freeman.
Oh,
Arturo
really?
Freeman. Yeah. So Arturo Freeman's there, Channing's there, and I'm there now, and I look forward to just like jumping in that scene and just helping out some high school kids and going to some games.
Had a hell of a season last year. I think it's going to the sky's limit over there again.
Yeah.
With football, man.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what's up right there.
Very, very cool. Well, hey, man, I know I've been trying to chase you down. You stay busy.
Yep.
I'll get a call from Chris every now and then. Hey, man, I got this opportunity for JT and I got this or I got that. And I said, well, when are you coming on the podcast? Hey, just let me know. I've been letting him know for a season now, but he made it in here season two.
I know, but I was a little shallow. You know, I didn't really go deep.
Oh, you did
you
great,
know,
man.
But, you know, I thought
great
it was stuff. Fun. I really enjoyed it. Obviously, you two are my favorite people, man, and it's cool to come on. And
appreciate
I love to come
that.
On once you guys start, you know, getting into other things. And we do have Chamber Podcast, you know, that we started.
We can
up.
Do
we
a
have,
little crossover,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, we had six episodes so far, and you know, we lost our producer, so we had to put it down. And then Shay Tab was the co-host, and so now we need for a producer so we can keep it running. But you know, we were focused on performance, fitness, and kind of lifestyle. And it was
man,
you know,
I'm an
our
in
stuff
all
is more time. Yeah, it's more timeless. It's timeless episodes. It's not day to day. It's similar to what you guys are doing, where you can kind of go back and see kind of what's going on, and we'll see if we can keep it rolling on the Five Reasons Sports Network.
That's what's up.
That would be great. Now, are you putting an announcement out there? So if someone's a producer and they have
well, we have a
an
guy
affinity
that,
fitness?
That Ethan's going to bring on that we're going to look at and just kind of go from there. This guy's Alex. I don't know if you know.
Now, are you going to sit Alex down and say, hey, Alex, look, have you ever been fired before? Because at some point you will get fired.
I will fire you.
Give him that speech.
I don't mind. I would tell anybody I fire. Even when I'm out here with like playing, you know, coaching some of the guys and I get a quarterback that's not throwing about, dude, I will fire you. Go give me another quarterback.
Give him that speech, man. So yeah. Cam Cameron did leave you with something.
Yeah, he did. He did. And,
a first class ticket to San Diego.
Yep.
And and firing you.
Yep, yep. So it all worked out in the end, man. And I'm happy I had the opportunity to play.
No doubt.
It was great having you on, man.
Hey, thanks for diving in, CC.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
You're now diving into the fish tank.
Dive up in that fish tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and
This is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Dog fans, number one. One. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange, yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rockin' with OJ and Seth when we dive up in that fish tank. Fans with attitude, we okay, gotta dive up in that fish tank. Celebrate big or cry hard. Leave it all on the field, we gon' try hard. Old school, a new school, mix it in. Feeling like we up close when we listening. Dolphins tails, in Miami is the deep end. We vibing with our favorite players, no secret. We get with Seth and McDuffie, bringing up stars we never heard to the public. Bet we love it, Dolphins fans never budging. We loyal to the team, whether happy or we upset. We be like, what's next? Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. And if you ready for that water, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. And if you down with Dolphins Nation, time to dive in. Don't switch the subject. You know it's all about them fans. You looking at that fish tank, it's time to dive in. Fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank. Rapping with OJ and Seth, time to dive up in that fish tank. Dog fans with attitude, we about to dive up in that fish tank.